Tape 2, Side B. Interview with Mr. Fred Bean. This will be the third interview.
I trust that, yes, the machine is recording.
Well, are you going to use that for a...
An outline? To remind you.
Well, I don't mean for you now, but I mean for the... To tie in with it, when you give the school the type of thing with the numbers on, so, that's a wonderful deal. You know, you're sure wonderful to talk to. You're relaxed. We're more like old friends than that.
I feel like you're a good friend. You had in my last interview been discussing your business history, and you mentioned moving into the building at 969 Long Beach Boulevard right after the war. And at that time, you were then incorporated and working with your children were in the business.
And we increased our wholesale operation, so took so much time that we finally, I sold my retail operation to my brother Kenneth, who carried on till he retired from business. We expanded so much that we couldn't operate in that store, so we had to build a new store at 2310 Long Beach Boulevard. We moved out to there in 1956, and we really had a good business there because we were fortunate enough to be in the radio industry long enough to have good lines and of the national manufacturers, and we sold them to the automotive and I mean aeronautic people, Douglas and North American and Rockwell, and all those bought their things from us, a lot of them from us, and it really gave us a very good business. And then what happened was that the manufacturers of these lines saw the amount of stuff that we were shipping to them. They decided that they would sell direct, and they even outpriced us. They were selling to some of these big airplane plants and the manufacturing of missiles and so forth for less money than they were selling to us for to sell to them. So we lost that business completely, and we went in strictly into parts for dealers and repair parts for them that they used in the thing, and we had a very good livery service and all until 1970. We, at that time, I decided I wanted to get out of it, quit the business, and my daughter was there, and my son wanted to get out of it and get into another branch of the business, so we put it up for sale. We could not sell it to any big company because we were too big for the little companies to buy us, and we were too small for the big companies to buy us, and for that we went along for a couple of years and didn't sell, so I finally decided the best way to sell was to sell out our different lines to our competitors. So we set up a inventory of each manufacturer's line, and with those lines we turned the copies of those to the dealers who was interested in buying that particular line, and we sold them the lines at a discount, and we come out with more money to us than we did and offered it to the big companies, and we didn't realize how much we had in it, I guess. But that got us out of the radio business. Then I had a building on my hands, and I traded that to a piece of land that had horse boarding on it, and it was leased to people, and when I got the land, the lease is carried on till a few years back when they quit, and I couldn't get anybody to take it over, so I've been running myself since then, and I've had about...
You're talking about your stable,
so we got horse boarding stables, and now the city of Long Beach has passed an ordinance prohibiting us from having horses in that area, and on the 17th of October of this year, 1982, we have been ordered to take our horses off of that territory, and we have no place to place them. We're having trouble finding places to place all these horses.
Can you started with the stables then in
70
when you made this?
No, it was about 75, about 1975, we had to take them over. So we've been running them now for that time ourselves.
About how many horses do you have out there?
We started in, we had about 40 and we went up to about 60 and now we're down to about 30.
And how many of them are yours?
My sons and mine and my horse trainer, between the three of us, we own seven of them.
Quite a stable.
Yeah.
What happened what's going to happen to the property? Why are you having to move off?
The Redevelopment Corporation in Long Beach wants it for low-priced housing, and they have some people that want it, but we'll never be able to get our money out of it because it's taken over by them, and the domain sets the price on it, which is about 10% of what the property's worth.
How did this happen that they're going to put low-cost housing in that area?
There's a shortage of areas for it. They condemned this whole strip of land where the horses was and used the horses for the excuse to keep the land vacated so that they could condemn it for low-priced housing.
So the redevelopment agency did the condemnation, or
one of the council women did it. I need to say that.
You don't want to name who she is.
Well, Saddle. She was instrumental in it because she got a name from it and it helped her in her voting.
What year was this? Can you recall it?
It was 1980.
1980 that they did this.
Uh-huh.
Was the whole city council in on this?
Yes. They did it in a political way, I think. And I think that the mayor and Sato, Mayor Clark and Sato did it because the thing that happened was that we had our hearing coming up at the council. And the council people said that they wanted to see where the property was, so they asked the planning department to go get them a map to show them where it was. Well, while that was happening, the mayor allowed another people to take over the rostrum, and it took them longer than they thought it would. And so he said that they were going to adjourn when this gentleman got through talking, and we'd come back at 1:30. Which he did do that, and he said for us to go and come back then. So we had about 30 people there representing the horse groups, and we all left. We come back at 1:30, and they started a new program. We went up and asked the secretary what happened, and she said it had already been passed. She says that when the mayor said he was closing the meeting, Ms. Sato said, Mr. Mayor, I have a motion before the House. He said, that's right. And so he said, is there anybody opposed to it? And we need more opposition. So the council didn't even ask what the motion was. They passed it unanimously. And that's where we stood. And we tried to get them to bring it back before the council again right then. And they said no. They wouldn't do it. So that was the way it was held.
Who made the decision about whether or not they could reopen it? Was that the mayor's decision?
Yes. And then not only that, but four of the people that was on that council were all on our side of the fence but they didn't ask what it was, so they didn't, when I asked them why they didn't vote against it, they said we didn't know it was this motion.
They couldn't bring it back up then.
No.
Which four council people were in, sympathetic to your cause?
Jane Hall, Ruby, Kale, and,
Tequila?
No, Kale. No, Kale was years ago. Kale and I would get a whole different story. Kale was a good horseman. Wilson was on our side, and that was the four that we had. It was, we would have voted for us. But we're closing out now, we're closing our minds up on the 17th of October. To start new, I'm going to retire on my 85th birthday, which will be October 24th.
You'll be out of the horse business.
Out of every business, exactly.
In talking about your background, you've been on so many different committees and influenced the city. I thought maybe if we just start with some of your activities with the Chamber of Commerce. Do you recall when you got started with Chamber of Commerce? I assume it was from your downtown business.
Oh, I was with the Chamber of Commerce off and on from 1921, and I was would serve a term on the board, and I'd serve her off of it, and so forth, because my business pressure was so much I didn't have the time to put in. And in 1951, a fellow that was supposed to be president that year decided he couldn't take it, and I got a, before I could realize it, I was unanimously elected to president of the Chamber of Commerce. And so I served it there. One of the things we did during that year was to get the property for the Long Beach State College, or State, it was College at that time, and we got the property from Fred Bixby, and we, the Chamber of Commerce was instrumental in raising the money. And our manager of the Chamber was on the board of the college, and that was D.W. Campbell, who was the manager of the Chamber at that time, and he was very instrumental in seeing that this was carried through, and it was.
He was particularly interested in getting the State College to come to Long Beach.
Well, the State College was here. It was in the building on Anaheim Road, in an apartment house, or not apartment house, it was a big building anyhow. I think they had it divided up into apartments, but anyhow, the college was there, and they called it the 49ers.
Right.
And so that carried along until this other come. And when we got the land, we dedicated the land. In fact, I was the speaker of dedicating the land for the college, mm-hmm. And then I was to the out to the college when they dedicated the library, which was the first building built there, and that was all in 1951 and 52, mm-hmm. And that's the college's blossomed from there on out.
It really has grown great.
It sure has.
Mr. Campbell, you said, was particularly, he was manager?
He was manager of the Chamber of Commerce, D.W. Campbell.
Was he in business here?
No, he was a 100% paid manager for the Chamber of Commerce.
You say he was on the board of directors or trustees?
He was one of the trustees of the college at the time.
How did he happen to become so interested in getting a state college, or getting the land, or,
Well, they were outgrowing that building they were on Anaheim Road, and they had to go someplace, and the Chamber of Commerce decided that they should back something to get the land, and we got to raise the money for it. The chamber didn't put the money up. It was raised from individuals that rent the land. And I've asked for a, if I can get any information on it, and so far I haven't been able to.
Well, you mentioned with your activities with the Chamber of Commerce and that you were involved in getting the Miss Universe contest.
There was a man that worked for Miss Universe, or didn't work for, he worked for Miss America, and he decided that when they changed the program of the sponsorship for Miss America back in Atlantic City, he would change it, and he would come out here and start Miss Universe. And we started Miss Universe, and we started Miss United States of America. Two organizations, two programs going at the same time, because we made it international in place of like. At that time, Miss America was just 48 states. And now, Miss Universe is still going, but it was taken over. The man that really put up the money to do it was a bathing suit company that made most of the bathing suits for Miss America here in Los Angeles. And he practically gave us a free hand to operate, and without any knowledge of Union 6, he up and died one day and left us without a sponsor.
And what is this gentleman, by the way?
Shut it off a second, I'll think of it.
You mentioned that the bathing suit company was sponsoring this.
They were sponsoring it, and consequently, we run it locally as an organization called the Miss Universe Corporation. And when we lost it, this bathing suit company that bought it out from the gentleman who died decided they wanted money for the right to use the Miss Universe name, because they inherited the name because it was put to his company. And even the wages of the man that managed the chamber, the Miss Universe, was paid by his bathing suit company. So we lost it, and so they moved it back to New York and started back there, and it's still been running.
Well, how many years did you have Miss Universe out here then?
We started 1952, three was the first 2 years I had been. I took it 1953, 54 and 55, mm-hmm. And then a different man, a member of the chamber, took over the presidency of it and carried it on through.
So this was really a Chamber of Commerce sponsored contest along with the swim company.
Yes, the chamber was really behind Miss Universe as one of their projects during that period of time.
How does the Chamber of Commerce tend to decide what kinds of activities to get involved in?
Well, it was a thing to publicize on, and she gave us international publicity. We had more international publicity the first 4 years of Chamber that the Miss Universe was here than the city of Long Beach had ever had in all the time up to date. We got books and books of them. From all the cities. We had a news gathering organization that got the news from all over the country that referred to Miss Universe and Long Beach and sent it to us. So we got all those clippings, and there was piles of them come in.
Were they interested then in the publicity for tourist trade?
Yeah, for tourist trade and for people coming here. I made a trip to South America, and I made a trip to Europe. And
you were talking about your trips?
I made quicker than here, and I made a trip representing the city of Long Beach when I was on the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. I made a trip to the city of, the year after I was on the Chamber of Commerce. In 1952, I made a trip with a group of mayors and Chamber of Commerce presidents of California to Japan, and the Japanese government paid all our expenses there. One of the things that was the greatest conversation of all was you're with Miss Universe. You were with them. What about it? All they wanted to know was about Miss Universe. Every place I went, it was Miss Universe. And I had the same thing when I was down in Rio, and the same thing when I was over in Switzerland. Every place I went, all they wanted to know was about Miss Universe. You know, they didn't care about anything else but Miss Universe, and how can they get over it, and how can they send somebody here to represent their country in it, and so forth. And it was really, it was surprising how strong it was. You get the point that they're more interested in that than it was in the fact that we were over there as a goodwill group to Japan, and they were more interested in this universe than there was a goodwill for our California cities.
The interest in Long Beach with Miss Universe have much of an impact, you think, on the development of Long Beach as far as the people coming for harbor development?
No, I don't think so. It was strictly a pleasure or entertainment organization deal. It was not a development deal. I don't think we got too much of it other than the fact that we got our name nationally known, and our harbor got a lot of good out of it because it became a national harbor during those times, and it was just going up and up and up in the trade tonnage hauled. And so I think that they got a lot out of it because a lot of people in the harbors over the country knew about Long Beach, not because of the harbor, but because of Miss Universe.
Well, I was wondering if, in a sense, it did happen.
It helped the harbor department more than anybody else.
Hmm.
They really come out good by it.
Well, the harbor was having problems at that time. This was also during the period of the subsidence. Did you have much of that, for instance, in your own business?
The funny part of it, in our trip there, we didn't hear much about the subsidence. We heard more about it at home than we did there. That was one of the other things that during the time I was on the Chamber of Commerce, I was working with a group of people, and the Press Telegram really, with the people behind it, Mr. Herman Ritter, sure helped get the deal through because the oil people said they didn't cause the subsidence. And we said they did. So there was...
When you say we...
The Chamber of Commerce, or the people of Long Beach, I should say, is we. We said they did cause it. Well, the reason that oil people wouldn't do it, if they admitted that that was it, they figured their libel suits against them would be so great that they never could come out from under it. So we finally worked out a deal, and with the oil companies, that we would work out a deal where that they would pay so much money in to putting in pressure plants to pump the water into there, into the deal, and the Michigan Engineering Company here in Long Beach developed the types of pumps. It was a high pressure pump.
What's happening with that?
Michigan. Yeah. Marty Michigan was the head of it. And they did that, and they really did an exceptionally fine job of bringing it up, and it really come up right, see, and we worked hard on that. We had the people, it was represented by a group of people, and I happened to be one of them, and Mr. Johnson, Congressman Johnson, he was another one.
Wasn't Johnson?
Huh?
You said a first name. Johnson.
I said Congressman.
Oh, Congressman.
Yeah. And then Herman Ritter and who that fact, we all are strong people in Long Beach on that committee.
Now, was this a Chamber of Commerce committee?
No, it was a private committee, and this Congressman Johnson is the man that got it going. He and Herman Ritter got it going, and we used to meet in the Press Telegram, private office up there, to meet. And we used Darrell Neighbors as the contact man between the city of Long Beach, the city council, and our committee. So the city council was working with us, but they didn't use our name in the deal. They were city council all the time, but we set up the program that they would go by, and the city council did a very good job of doing it.
So you're talking about your committee that met at the Press Telegram.
Yeah.
Was this an untitled committee?
Untitled committee. It was just a group of fellows that got together that was working against the subsidence, that, and we were just trying to get a deal to where they would do something to stop it. Because, where the Craig Shipyard was, it was something like 13 feet below water level. And things like that was happening. And big dikes and everything else put around the places, piers, Pier Jay, and all was all full of dikes to keep the water from coming in.
Well, the Edison Company Edison plant there still is below, and you have the dikes up. When you drive over there, you can see the difference.
It's not like it was at one time.
The Navy, the U.S. Navy got involved in this problem with the subsidence because of the naval base here.
Yes. Well, we very nearly lost the naval base over it. Because if it kept on going, we would have lost it. We wouldn't have had it today.
Mm-hmm.
But and again, we've had some more subsidence recently. And they're doing that for the same thing by really putting back in the injection for every barrel of water they take out, they put a barrel of water in.
Now, the Navy did have a legal suit against the city of Long Beach.
They never got into a suit, but they had a lot of deals there, and we were having a lot of trouble. The Navy was condemning the city of Long Beach for the whole operation, and we were in hot water, but the Navy is the thing that really pulled us out of it, and fighting the deal through to get it through. And Admiral James, and who's the head of the shipbuilding area over there, and the base, and he was really a smart fella, and he really did a good job. And before we got through, he became the city of Long Beach's representative in Washington, D.C., as a civilian representative, but he was ex-Navy, and he knew his way around, and he did a terrific job.
Now, he was retired then at the time when he was representing.
Yes, he was retired from the Navy. He retired from this base here and went to Washington and took our job as our lobbyist.
What happened to the lawsuit that...
It was all dropped. Apparently, it was all dropped. They never come to any hearings at all, as I can remember.
Do you recall why they dropped it?
Or because we got subsidence in. We're overdoing subsidence because we got an agreement between the Navy and the city of Long Beach and the oil industry that we had pumped this water in. And the minute we got that agreement done, it was going to town then.
Well, now, you said Darrell Neighbors was representing your unnamed...
Well, he was our go-between. He was really our secretary. He was our secretary and the fellow that would carry what we did in a written message to the city council and city manager to carry on.
Well, where did the city council and the city manager stand in? And who was it?
They were very much in favor of what we